Welcome to the Beautiful Feet Entertainment Podcast. We're going to go ahead, we're going to jump into another Bible study. We're going to jump into the book of James. Now, the book of James is a huge letter that's written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he drops amazing, amazing knowledge in this book. So we're just going to jump in, chapter 1. The verses that kind of stick out to me. Again, we're not going to go over the entire chapter. We're just going to take it a few verses at a time. The chapter 1, the verses that stuck out to me. Verse 2 to verse 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So first of all, we have to look at this and say, okay, if first thing it talks about, it says, count it as a joy when you meet trials. When you have something in your life that goes ahead and is challenging you and it's pushing you to the limits. It's not there to destroy you. It's not there to break you. It's really there to build you up. So we should look at those moments as teachable moments. Because here's the honest truth. They are going to happen. You are going to face challenging and difficult times all the time. You face it daily. You face it often. It could be something simple. It could be something simple like having patience while being stuck in traffic. Or it could be something more complex. Maybe you didn't get a promotion at work and you're stressed out because you know that you needed that promotion. Or maybe you know you work hard and you deserve that promotion. Whatever that may be, the honest truth is we're going to face trials on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we're going to face trials. And we're often going to face trials more than once a day. It's not here's my day trial for the day. It's here's trial number one of 35 for the day. Or maybe it's even more than that. But the bottom line is you're going to face trials. So take that as an opportunity to grow instead of looking at it as a way of the world trying to break you down. Now, when you finally allow yourself to see these opportunities to grow, you allow yourself to grow. You allow yourself to be transformed, to be changed, for you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life in such a way that you see the opportunity of growth. And then in that time, you actually get solidified by your faith. You get solidified within it. When you are going through trials and tribulations, you pray more, and your prayers mean something. They're not just a thank you, God, but they're a thank you. I'm full of gratitude. I'm full of joy because I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a situation, and I see your work in your hands in my life. That's what you would say to God. And so you look at that, and you say, okay, this is what I need. I need this trial because it's going to make me a more patient person. It's going to make me a more loving person, a more compassionate person. And it's really going to create in me a strong foundation for my faith. See, too many times we sit there and we look at our faith as something that we act out on a specific day, on a Sunday, or maybe a Wednesday night Bible study, or a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. But we forget that the regular Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday and Wednesday, we forget those days when that's when we start acting outside of our faith. We start allowing our broken heart or our contrite ways to lead us instead of our faith. James continues and says, verse 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. See, here's the thing. A lot of times when we pray, our prayer life is simply, God, get me through this situation. God, give me the strength to handle this situation. And then what do? We get out of the situation and we forget to thank God, first of all. But we also forget to search in those moments for wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge of what's going on around you. Wisdom is the understanding of the world around you and its meaning. See, a lot of people understand what's going on around them, but they don't understand the meaning. The fact that God's using that situation to teach us. The fact that God's using that situation to refine us, to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us wiser. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom because he'll give it to you. But here's the kicker. Here's the most important part. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Simply put, when you sit down to pray for something that you desire, something that you need, first of all, it needs to be in line with the Word of God. If you know you are searching for something that is not in line with the Word of God, it's not something you should be praying for. But if it's aligned with the Word of God and you know that it will impact your ministry in a positive way, you have to pray and you have to ask for it in such a way where God knows your commitment to it. God knows that if he fulfills your prayer and he gives you what you ask for, that it will be used properly and that you are committed to it. So if you have doubt in your heart, doubt in your mind, you're already showing you're not committed. You're already showing that you can actually do without whatever you're asking for. When you have doubt in your mind, you are already in your mind saying, God will not give this to me because I don't deserve it. God will not give this to me because I'm not good enough. God will not give this to me because what I'm asking for, I don't know how to use. Maybe it's a certain gifting. Maybe it's a certain person in your life. Maybe it's a specific job, or maybe it is that promotion. But you're saying, I don't think I deserve it. Now, let me ask you, if you have a child and he comes up or she comes up to you, and they're asking for something that they really, really want, and you give them trials and tests to see if they could handle it, the responsibility that they're asking for, and they all of a sudden start coming to you in a doubtful way, most likely you're not going to give them what they asked for because they're showing they're not fully committed to it. For example, a child may come up and ask for a puppy. Ask for a dog. Say, I'll take care of it. I'll clean up after it. I'll take it for walks. I'll feed it. That's what the kid says. So you say, okay, we're going to start with something small. Maybe you'll start with a goldfish or maybe a plant. And you say, if you can take care of this, then you can move on to the next thing. And eventually you'll move on to the puppy because it shows me your commitment. I know my parents did this to me. I would ask for a pet. And, you know, they at times would, like, so for example, I asked for a guinea pig or a gerbil, right? And my parents took the chance and allowed me to have it. But they understood, we came to the agreement that you would water it, that I would water it and that I would feed it and I would make sure it was taken care of and I would make sure we had food for it and I would make sure we had the bedding for it and the things that we needed. My parents would be willing to help buy those things, but I had to let them know that I needed it. If I came to them doubting, saying, I don't think I can do it before I even got the gift, of course they're not going to let me have it. Why would God be any different? Why would you come up to God and say, God, I would really like to have a companion, have a person who I love, who I care for, and who cares for me. But then at the back of your mind, you're saying, but I don't deserve someone to love me. I don't deserve someone to care for me. I don't deserve to love these people. Because I'm a sinner and I'm broken. God's not going to give you what you want because you're not ready for it yet. You're not showing that commitment. And like I said, our prayer must be aligned with the Word of God. Do not ask anything that is outside the will of God. Because trust me, he's not going to give you something that's unhealthy for you or that's going to break you to the point where you can't be repaired. Keep going. It says, verse 12, I think it's a good way to cap it off. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, For when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Just like we said, we're going to be put through trials. We're going to be put through tests and tribulations. Sometimes they're from God. Sometimes they're from the world around us. But the truth is we can remain steadfast in our faith, solid in our faith, turning to God when we need help and putting our full trust in him. We get something greater than what we expected. We get a crown of life. We get everlasting or eternal life that never ends. It never disappears. It never vanishes. It's there. Isn't that what we ultimately want? Because I know that's what I want. I hope this Bible study has blessed you. This is just a fraction of what is in James chapter 1. Read through the chapter and just enjoy it. Soak it in. And really try to gain an understanding of it. But I hope that this blesses you. I hope that God blesses you this week. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the trials that we are put through, that we are facing in our lives, God. The fact that those trials create in us perseverance. They create in us character. They create in us a stronger faith so that we know who our source of joy is. That is you, Jesus. If you are not our source of joy, I pray that you would be. I pray that you would bless us, that you would show us, and that we would open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to what you are doing in our life. Thank you for this grace. I pray that you would be with us this week. I pray that you would bless us and guide us, that you would love us so that we can love the people around us. I pray all this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Be ready for the rest of the book of James. Have a great week.